box left me an orphan. My pops left me an orphan. My mama wasn't home. Do not step in me an orphan. My pops left me an orphan. My pops left me an orphan. My mama wasn't home.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. You are joining us on a very busy Sports Monday. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, send us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Please tweet with us because everybody's doing it. Even got Lane Johnson from the Philadelphia Eagles following us and tweeting with us at Ray and Tay Today, and like us also on Facebook. Ray, let them know this very important, busy sports show. Sometimes sports carry some weight across all parts of the world.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. So late last night, we had an announcement by a young man by the name of Michael Sam, a first-team All-American, first-team All-ACC, coming out saying that he was a gay football player.
Yeah, SEC,
player.
Yeah.
Sorry, SEC, co-player of the year in the SEC. Co-defensive player of the year in the SEC. So we'll talk about that, some of the ramifications on him, on the NFL, society in general. A lot to talk about there. We've got the Olympics in Sochi going on right now. We're in the third day of medal activity. So we'll go through some of the amazing activity out there. I want to be in Norway. Because Norway is this tiny little country, and they just dominate.
They're tied for
the
first
Winter
place
Olympics.
With Canada and the Netherlands. You got to like that.
No, they're the all-time, but they're the all-time winningest country.
Winter
and
Olympics. Yeah.
If you do it by population, they're just running away with it. They just should have.
You know,
the
we
got
to talk to our guy Al Trowick
every 4 years. He's
friend
he's
to
out
the show.
There.
I know he's out
there.
There.
I heard him. And, you know, Al Michaels is doing the broadcast, too. So it's pretty funny that NBC was able to get Al, you know, to go out there. I figured
Bob
Al
Costas
was
with the new glasses and the new haircut. You got to like it.
They got everybody in Sochi. Oh, and we'll talk more about it. But Putin gave a hug to the girl who's openly gay. So
yeah,
we have a lot to talk
amazing.
About. We'll get into that. A new top 25 poll has come out.
Ooh,
we'll talk about that. We still
college
have one undefeated team at number one, and we got a second undefeated team at number four. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And, of course, we had a mess on Saturday night. We had a top NBA prospect in Marcus Smart lose it a little bit. And a fan acted inappropriately, and Smart acted inappropriately. So we'll get into all of that, what
fans
that means for Smart, what that means for Oklahoma State, what that means
Texas
for college
Tech.
Basketball.
Yeah.
And then we'll finish up with some NBA talk. So we're nearing
clapboards.
Clapboards, yeah. We had a firing in the NBA already. One of our favorite players got fired 50 games into the season.
Don't get me started.
We're coming up on the All-Star festivities this weekend and the second half of the season, so we got a lot to talk about in the NBA. So,
yeah,
action-packed show, but let's start off with the news of the night from last night. Michael Sam, defensive end, first-team All-America from Missouri, comes out. In February, before the combine, before the draft, and says that he's an openly gay football player. What
came out first in August to his teammates. I think, first of all, I almost want to say in some way, I wish we were evolved enough in our world and society, who cares? But of course it's a major story, right? You know, we all know about Jerry Smith, NFL Network, Football Life just did a great story, expose on him, the play for the Redskins, great tight end, but, you know, really wasn't sort of out until after his career and playing days and all that stuff. But I got to say, Michael Sam, courageous, salute him, you know, and I think I don't think it will change his draft status. He's projected anywhere from third to, you know, maybe late fourth round. You know, could be a fifth rounder. But what's more important is we've got to find out from the combines, Ray, how fast he is. Can he drop back in coverage? At the Senior Bowl, he was not able to do that. He's never done that. He's only rushed a passer. He's undersized to rush the passer. You know, he's 6'3". They're saying he might not really be 6'3", might be 6'2". Whatever, we'll find out. But I think it should all be about what he can do on the field. As far as with the NFL, I thought Ryan Clark said it best today on NFL Live. I think for Michael Sam to sort of join his team, whatever team drafts him, I think he should sort of say to the nation, I'm about being a football player, and this is my job. So I actually, after today at training camp, he should say, you know, after, you know, when I first get to training camp, I only want to talk about football. And I think that would open up the doors because, you know, Ryan Clark said it, Bill Polian said it. You know, these guys aren't equipped to answer all these questions, and you don't want it to be a Tebow, a this, a that, a crazy. You want it to be about football, and I think the kid will have a successful career if he does that. And maybe he'll be a Dumervil or somebody. Who knows? A lot of guys were drafted fourth, fifth round and have been stars and won Super Bowls. So I think it's going to be fascinating, but I hope that he doesn't not – that they don't – that he's not drafted because of this.
No, I don't think he won't not get drafted. I think at the end of the day, looking back at it, you're right. It's too bad that it is an issue, but if there's going to be a groundbreaker, we'll be it, have it be in football, because this is the most extreme, you know, at least perception-wise, that the football locker room, you know, anything goes in the football locker room, and it's like barbarians, and it's just unfair because football players are just like anybody else, right? There's yeah. all walks of life in a football locker room. But I will say this, good for him for coming out in general and good for him for doing it in February, because there were rumors, and rather than have rumors, just put it out there. And you know what? In some ways, it's self-selection, because while he wants to earn a living, he also doesn't want to be on a team that doesn't want him. You know? You'd hate to be drafted in a team, and I'm not saying Miami Dolphins are, you know, could have foreseen what happened with Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito, but let's just say that that was a team that, in retrospect, people are saying, oh, there wasn't great leadership and there wasn't great whatever in the locker room. So
right.
let's have a team that selects him, that wants him because of his football performance and has the ability to deal with, you know, the media circuit that's going to surround him. And let's hope that that dies down real quick. But you know there'll be a little bit of a circus in the beginning. So
yeah.
let the team that wants him draft him. You know, all the cards are on the table. Let's go, and let's just play football. And I hope that it doesn't swing the other way around, too. I hope he gets treated like any other rookie, right? So even though we talk about
you
don't want to haze,
yeah.
I mean, you know, there's hazing and there's hazing, right? You don't want to bully, but, you know, hazing is fine. So treat him like anybody else, right? If you make the rookies get donuts, make him get donuts, you know?
Definitely.
You make him, you know, sing and dance.
Hey, I don't think
you're
worried about the NFL guys doing that. They'll do that, but you don't want them to go too far. But Jerome Bettis also said, and I have to give him credit, you know, he's got to also be able to, and I think he will, like, seeing the interview of the young man, Michael Sam, he knows who he is. He seems comfortable in who he is. He's had a rough upbringing. You know, I think this being Black History Month and him being not only coming out as the first gay athlete, but being African American, and there's different, you know, sort of stereotypes of that and the machismo, whatever. I think he is also, like Betta said, got to be able to sort of take jokes and laugh at himself, because, you know, that's going to be part of it too. Because, you know what, Manti Te'o took it, you know, and I think that's a reality as well. That's a fair reality, because everybody gets sort of snapped on or joked with, you know what I mean? So we'll see how this all plays out. I think it's going to be fascinating. The one thing I will say is that I think the NFL is ready for it, and I think society is getting ready and sports in general are getting ready. And I commend his teammates, because nobody picked Mizzou to do anything this year, and look what they wound up doing. And it's like they rallied around him, and the kid had his best season, you know, and, what, 11.5 sacks. But also I think what was amazing about it, nobody in that locker room leaked anything, you know. So it's got to be about the game. And like I always say, you know, hashtag sports cares, You know, sports heals. So I think that's a good thing. And, you know, if you've ever seen 42, it's running on cable now. Watch it. Look at what Jackie Robinson had to endure and how what a classy guy he was to take all that abuse. So, you know, that's how I look at that. I think we got a caller, Ray. I guess Ray will be back. I think we got a caller calling in, probably talking about this and some other issues. You know, one thing I'll say is it's smart to jump in front of it in terms of getting ready for the combine. I think now this kid can focus on football and teams can prepare to get their leadership and their organization together so that they can be more prepared to handle whatever issues or needs Michael Smith and the locker room might have. So I think it's a win-win, and I think he designed it and constructed this whole process well. So I'm happy for him, man. You know, look, none of us should really judge any of us, and we're going to get to Marcus Smart issue in a minute when, you know, Ray comes back. But I got to tell you this. Great to see the Olympics, to see, you know, your boy, the Russian president, you know, sort of hugging up at the Holland House, you know, the speed skater, Vust, who is, you know, openly a gay athlete and a champion, got the Olympic gold, and, you know, Russia's got its different issues and their looks on some of their issues of dealing with sexual orientation. And he, you know, was there celebrating with the Netherlands king and queen, and he, you know, hugged this woman. And so, you know, look, I think we've got to get to a place where society is just more open and accepting. You know, you don't have to live like somebody else, but you don't have to have hatred either. You know, and I think also we got to talk about these fans. Fans and sporting events, you got to chill out. And we'll talk about that in a minute when Ray comes back and, you know, joins us with our caller. So hopefully they'll be joining us in a minute. But also, I think today is a day where sports can show itself to be positive, and it's good to see that NFL players have been coming out, and, you know, even Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin, you know, they wished him well, and you know, were very positive for Michael Sam. And he's got like 18,000 Twitter followers now, so it was blowing up Twitter last night, and you know, it's just one of those things where it seems as if people are you know, getting it together, man. So I think overall our society will, you know, be good with that or whatever. And, you know, some other breaking news. I'm a little upset with Maurice Cheeks being fired from the Detroit Pistons. They won two in a row when he got fired. It's like 50 games in. And to be honest with you, I think the Pistons are a disappointment. And, you know, we'll talk about that when we get to the NBA, but I'm just surprised that Maurice Cheeks was sort of let go so early. Joe Dumars has now had 9 coaches under his regime as GM, and as Ray will tell you, some questionable draft choices as well over the years. But, you know, Dumars has got a championship, and he won it with a team with no Hall of Famers. You know, maybe Rasheed Wallace, but I don't know if Chauncey and Rip Hamilton are Hall of Famers. And it looks like Marcus Camby is expected to, you know, to come back for his NBA return by the end of February. So that'll be good for Marcus. Maybe he helps that Rocket team and their size and stuff like that. So we shall see.
We're back. We're back. We got a caller. We got Mike.
Okay. All right, I thought you guys got lost, man, like you guys went to Idaho there for a minute.
No, so, we've got Mike from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, what's up, Mike? How's it going, buddy?
Oh, it looks like we might have lost him. Oh, we had him, and it looks like we may have lost him. Uh-oh.
All right, well, he'll call back. Well, listen, I was going into the different things with the breaking news, but real quick, your comment and thoughts on Maurice Cheeks being fired.
Well, mixed emotions on that. I love Maurice Cheeks as a player. I think he's had success as a coach. He's had some ups and downs, obviously, as a coach. But I don't know about 50 games into the season. I mean, Joe Dumars also is another guy who had success at the beginning of his career. What I fear, though, and I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but what I fear is that there are bigger things at work here, which is to say that the owner, Gore,
tanking or going to get Lambeer?
No, Gore is the owner from L.A., wants Tom Izzo. And what he's doing is he fired Mo Cheeks, and then he's going to let the assistant coach the end of the season. Lionel Hollins is out there, so you could get Lionel Hollins, very legit candidate.
Yeah.
But people are saying that he's a Michigan State grad, and he wants Tom Izzo. Bless you. Look, I didn't think Izzo would ever leave. I thought he'd be like a Krzyzewski type. But that part kind of makes sense if you think you fire Mo Cheeks. You basically, once Izzo ends his run in the tournament, which will be somewhere between mid-March and April.
What do they got to come with, $8
million
a year?
Is,
they got to come heavy?
I don't even know if it's money. I don't know. Look, you got to pay him, obviously. But I don't know.
Well, it's going to be job security. These college coaches have undying job security. So it's got to be like
an
8-year contract or something.
$6 million and $8 million. I think it's more the job security, more, you know, involvement in player personnel, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm not sure what it takes, but I have a feeling that Gores wants to make a move for his boy Izzo from Michigan State. So that's why I would think so. Now, why fire Maurice Cheeks now? Why not do it at the All-Star break? So some of the pieces don't add
it's
up.
All weird,
but I think there's something bigger at stake here than just Maurice Cheeks. And what I heard also was that there was a little bit of animosity at play because Joe Dumars supposedly didn't really want to fire Mo Cheeks either, that it was the owner. And the owner was the one that hired Lawrence Frank against Dumars' will. So I think there's a lot of backstories happening in Detroit.
And the owner probably doesn't want to just fire Joe Dumars so abruptly without a just, you know, cause, like having an Izzo to be maybe both, because Joe Dumars, even though he's had, you know, the Milichek and some different things, he did bring a championship as a player and as a coach. So he's got a lot of street cred with the Piston fans. You know what? Look, we could even explore that more another day. Before we get to Marcus Smart and college hoops, just a little bit with the Olympics. You know, while you were gone, I touched on, you know, Putin and the Netherlands gold medal winner. But speed skating is so much fun to watch, and it was great. The Netherlands were dominating, but a Russian did, you know, get in there and get a medal. But these women, Ray, their legs are so strong. These girls are, like, amazing. They're thick, yo.
Speed skaters are just phenomenal. And to see them go around and
–
you know, people
eight
say
laps, like 32 second a lap.
It's amazing. They're all aerodynamic, and men and women. It's amazing. That's one of my favorite sports. I like that one. You know, you talked about hockey being great. I like ski jumping too. I like when they just take off and they just fly in the air. That's an awesome sport as well.
And you know what? USA, not bad. We placed in the team skating. The bronze for the team skating, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, bronze in team skating, and like we talked about last time, they turned it from a competitive sport to, well, it's still competitive, but at least now there's a team element, and it's not only individual.
Nice.
So in terms of the medal count, though, I don't know if you saw this, but the medal count, Canada is leading the medal count, right? It's still early. 3 gold, 3 silver, and a bronze. The Netherlands has 3 gold, 2 silver, 2 bronze. Norway, country that should just, you know, have the Olympics in Lillehammer every year, because those guys are just no joke. 2 gold, 1 silver, 4 bronze, 7. And then the Russians are at 6 medals, and the U.S. is at 5. 2 gold,
that's
1 silver,
USA,
and 3
man.
Bronzes.
Not bad.
But considering that the USA sent, 230 athletes
26
to the games,
26,
something like that.
Yeah, we sent a lot.
That.
Yeah, that's It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy.
And your boy Bodie Miller finished eighth in the ski.
Yeah.
So he's a little disappointed. He came out with some weak excuses like the sun and the shade this. And it's like, look, just step up and say, I had a bad run. I mean, he won two out of the three qualifying races, so that's why everybody had their expectations up. But, you know, for a 36-year-old skier, you know,
let's hope when Olympics, Sean White gets to compete that he, you know, that he'll, you know, go and get us another gold. But you know who makes no excuses? The 23-0 number one ranked team in the nation, the Syracuse Orange, who took care of Clemson over the weekend. And I got to tell you, talk about Canada. Innes is from Canada, too. The Canadian basketball players are taking over college and NBA. You got Wiggins, Innes, you know, Tristan Thompson, all these different guys from Canada and NBA. Anthony Bennett, who's not really doing much.
But number one.
I mean, 10-0 in the ACC, and this week, two huge ACC games. But the biggest one is from two Big East teams, Ray. Syracuse goes to Pitt to try to return, you know, the favor, and maybe Pitt will try to return the favor and beats them on their home court. And then Duke, North Carolina, which is the Tar Heels, five in a row. Before we get to Marcus Smart, let's talk about some of the positives. The top 25, you got Syracuse 1, Arizona 2. Your Gators, 3. Florida. Wichita State, 4. That's all staying the same. San Diego State, 5. Villanova, 6. Kansas, who, Ray, I'm telling you, they are looking tougher and tougher, 7. Duke, 8. Michigan State's coming back, 9. And how about Cincinnati and the job that they're doing at 10, just to, you know, sort of round off the top 10. What are your thoughts in the top 25 and just even looking at that top 10?
So my thought is that number 10 Cincinnati team lost to SMU. SMU is in the top 25 Southern Methodist University, number 23 in the nation.
Wait,
in
but
the
who predicted on Friday about St. John's, baby? How about that?
Oh, yeah,
they beat Creighton.
Beat Creighton, yeah, no doubt.
Oh,
but
that was great.
Think about SMU. St. John's at least had some guys. They had, you know, Ron Artest and Eric Barkley and Bootsy Thornton. And so they had some top 25. SMU hasn't been in the top 25 since 1984-85 season. That's 30 years. They haven't been in the top 25. That's back when they had, you know, right after the Pony Express with James and Eric Dickerson on the football field right before they got the death penalty. So kudos to SMU. So that's the first thing that stood out is that you got an SMU team ranked 23 in the nation. So I love that.
Well, you know who's back in the top 25, too, since we just did the top 10, but looking down, 21 Wisconsin. Yep, 21 Wisconsin, but 22 Ohio State. So they took a quick break out of the top 25, and they jumped back in. What did you think about Wisconsin's win over Michigan State?
Well, and Michigan State only dropped to 9. So Michigan State's beat up a little bit. They can't get everybody between Appling and Harris and
Dawson's still out.
Yeah, they can't get everybody and Payne. They can't get everybody on the court at the same time. So I think they're a quality top five team, Final Four candidate. So anytime you beat them, it's got to mean something. And you know what this says to me? That the Big Ten is just so deep that they beat up on
Iowa,
each other. You know, Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan State. They're just beating up on each other. These are really good teams.
You know who wants to take it back, though? How about Charlottesville, UVA, number 17, Virginia? And how about my Terps beat Florida State over the weekend? And I'm telling you, two upsets to look for. Maryland might beat Virginia tonight. And then I think in a week or two, Syracuse has got to come to Maryland for our last time in the ACC. And the Terps are playing some good ball. But Maryland-UVA is a good game to watch tonight. So I'm kind
of
excited, man.
Well, we got a lot of good games this week.
Let's continue to talk about the positive before we get into this whole Marcus Smart thing, because that's going to take some time, too. So this week you've got the Duke, North Carolina. Obviously you've got Michigan State, Ohio State coming up.
Yeah, that's on Tuesday.
Pitt, North Carolina. I'm sorry, Pitt, Syracuse.
Syracuse is on Wednesday, and then Duke, North Carolina is on Wednesday as well. So
right. The Wisconsin big game is on the weekend, so we'll talk about that on Friday when I play Michigan. So that's going to be good. You know what's fascinating? I think we're starting to see these players, some of the top players, it's getting cloudy because there's some other kids who are, you know, in different programs who are starting to step up and look like stars. Even for Wisconsin, Jimmy Jackson's son, Trey Jackson, you know, he had some injuries, but he's back and playing healthy. Kentucky, you know, some of their guys, whether it's Randall or Young and, you know, the Harrison twins are starting to play ball. So, you know, even the star players and the draft, and then Louisville at 13, Russ Smith is, you know, starting to step it up again. So they're, but you know who's starting to dominate? Jabari Parker. He had a big game against Boston College. So, look, 20
well,
and 4.
I would argue Duke. Also that as well as these rookies do or these first-year players do, it's going to even have an impact on the NBA because I think people are going to start tanking and they're going to start realizing, hey, you know, there's even creep in L.A. People, you know, Kobe's a killer, and we'll talk about the NBA in a sec, but Kobe's a killer, but people are saying, hey, Kobe, you know, why don't you just relax, you know? You don't need to come back this year. This is a lost year. We'd rather have Jabari Parker, and because they have their pick this year. They got to ship their pick next year to Phoenix, but this year they keep their pick, so this is the year to have your pick. So,
yeah.
So in L.A., you know, you move 2-3 spots up, and you're 8-9-10, a lot different from being 2-3-4. Get yourself a Julius Randle, a Jabari Parker, an Andrew Wiggins. Woo! I mean, this is the year. This is the year to lose a few games.
And then also a young man like Marcus Smart. So let's talk about it. I don't know if this incident, and for those who don't know, Marcus Smart, during the end of the Texas Tech game, which Oklahoma State lost, now 4-6 in the Big 12 and lost 4 in a row in conference, he, you know, sort of went into the stands after a play. The fan yelled something at him, and then he shoved the fan. The fan is, you know, now got a name and all this and that. Jeff Orr, 50-year-old fan, big, you know, follower of Texas Tech, evidently in the past, is, you know, and there's videos on YouTube, he's been sort of, you know, bad language towards other visiting players and stuff like that. So Marcus Smart feels that he heard a racial slur. Jeff Orr says that he called him a piece of crap, which is not nice either. The three games, you know, the Big 12 and Oklahoma State, you know, spoke together and they came up with three-game suspension, I think is more than fair. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, because for me, number one, I don't know if I believe Jeff Orr. I'm tired of fans sort of treating, like every other sport, there's a wall or this or that, whether it's football, hockey, whatever. Basketball, college, and NBA, they're right on top of them. And I think sometimes the language, it's unacceptable. I think it's gone too far. And by no means should any player ever shove a fan or anything like that. But I just think just because you buy a ticket, you can't act a fool and have a 50-year-old cursing out a 19-year-old or whatever he's saying, whether you said the N-word or a piece of crap or whatever. It's gone too far. So I think we got to figure something out here.
Yeah, I think it's you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, ultimately, both sides were wrong in this situation. Why? What are you, a 50-something-year-old man calling a 20-year-old kid, you know, names? I mean, really? Really? You can root. You can fan. You can be a fan. Yeah. You can be a fanatic. You can boo. You can cheer. You can do whatever. But really, you know, is that how you want your child to, you know, be treated if he or she were to compete in intercollegiate athletics? So you're absolutely right that we've drawn the line. And it's even worse in college because it's one thing for college-age kids to do this, I suppose, because, you know, college is kind of one of those times when you do. But to have a grown man do this, I think that's ridiculous.
It's almost
so
weird.
He was definitely in the wrong. And Marcus Smart was also in the wrong. You don't put your hands on anybody. Remember,
he lost his cool.
He lost his cool, and this is the second time, you know, in a week and a half that he's done that. He kicked the chair. earlier, a few games ago. So some people are spinning it as a positive, like he's so into the games that he cares so much, and I guess that's good. You'd rather that than the other alternative where they just don't care, where people are just there to play ball and don't really care about winning and losing. But he's got to control himself, and I think this is
a
learning.
I think he'll learn from this.
Yeah, it's a learning moment. I don't think his draft stock will ultimately be that impacted. Look, he's 19 years old. I can guarantee you he won't do this again. So in some ways, get it out of your system now, right? and I thought
but I
the
think
athletic
he's also
director.
His past is, you know, he's actually known as a respected, you know, he's been a respected kid. Travis Ford spoke highly of him, but I think other people and even NBA GMs have come out and said, like, look, I mean, you know, we think highly of Marcus Smart. So, I think what's interesting, though, to me, forget about the racial slur and forget about it being a black-white issue. I'm more concerned or more I dislike it being, like you said, like a 50-year-old man. Okay, we're not 50 yet, but even to me, like a 50-year-old man kind of pointing at and yelling and, you know, when a player comes in just because of a play at a 19-year-old kid, it's, you know, it's kind of like
an amateur, no less. I mean, not that this is more accessible at the pro level, but at least they're paid and they're a little bit older and maybe they have can develop a thicker skin.
And they're grown men.
It's a human decency issue. He's a basketball player. He's performing. It's entertainment. So what are you saying? You can say boo. You can say you suck.
You
can say
suck.
Your team
exactly.
sucks. You can say whatever. That's fine. That's all within the confines of being an athlete. But really? Like, I mean, just the choice of language is just – and I'm not trying to be Pollyannish because, you know, we've been there both on the court and in the stands, and we've probably said some stuff at Nick games or whatever. But you just look back and you're like, really, are we taking
but
this
even as
bait?
Young kids, we weren't cursing. We were like, boo,
no.
trade him, boo, you suck. You know what I mean? There's a big difference.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
There's
and
a
look,
big
I,
difference.
The one thing I am – happy about happy if there can be some
the learning
is that
there can be a learning
it's
moment
it's a learning experience. Nobody got hurt, thankfully. It wasn't a melee like the what did they call it, the malice at the palace or whatever that was with Ron Artest.
And even Ron Artest said he can Marcus Smart can learn from this
and I think everybody handled it right. So I think that the Big 12 and Oklahoma State gave Marcus Smart within a day, within 24 hours, he had a quick press conference. He didn't take questions, which was good. He made his speech. They gave him the three-game suspension. I thought that
was 100%.
And he spoke
from his heart. He didn't have no paper there.
I thought that was 100% appropriate. And I thought that, you know, this guy putting himself on suspension, basically saying, I volunteer not to come to games, home or away, this, you know, for the rest of the season, I think is fine, too. I think maybe Texas Tech needs to do a little investigation, but they can't be responsible for players,
for every,
you know.
What every
for,
fan says either.
Yeah, every fan's conduct.
But you know what you can do,
pattern,
Ray?
Then they
you
can tap
them
on the shoulder and
you're
say,
banned.
Look.
Yeah, you can ban a fan, though, from coming in. You could be like, we don't want your money.
You can. And certainly if you see a pattern, you could say, look, this is intercollegiate athletics. There's no place for that. And I think that, you know, they don't really – I guess they know this guy because he's technically a booster, according to college, you know, definition.
Well, he goes on the road with the team and travels. You know, he's a fan, dedicated fan. But let me ask you this: I think it's kind of interesting. Why would you ban yourself if you didn't say something kind of worse than a piece of crap?
Nah, I think he's one of these guys. Look, I don't know what he said and what he didn't say. They released audio that said you're a piece of crap. So that definitely was said. Was that all that was said?
Well, was
know.
That from him? We don't even know if it was from him, yeah.
That's a good point. We don't know if that was from him. We don't know if there was some racial epithets
else.
Or if the racial epithets could have been from somebody else. That's a possibility, too, that he could have said what he said.
To me, he responded as if he heard the N-word. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, really? You think he's going to freak out from, yo, you stinking piece of crap? His reaction doesn't equal what was said that was said. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's something funny.
Lost,
it's weird.
You know what was lost in this whole shuffle? Is that when there was a turnover and it was a breakaway and Marcus Smart protected the rim, and it was only a 2-point game. This wasn't a blowout. This game, people said, oh, Oklahoma State lost the game. This wasn't a blowout. This was, I think there was 6 seconds left, and mm-hmm. they were down two, and he's protecting the rim, so he's shooting two shots. So before the technical, which gives you two shots on the ball, it was only a 2-point game. If he makes one of two, you're down three with the ball. So Oklahoma State was absolutely in this game. So I got to think, again, that must have been something crazy you heard in the stands, because it's still a game you can win. And nobody seems to talk about that. This game was in the balance. And, of course, the technical foul put it, you know, out of reach. And once you have a technical foul with the two shots in the ball, you're not going to win that game. But down two with two shots, with, you know, Texas Tech shooting two free throws, that's a winnable game. Look, it's not, you know, your probability of winning is not 50%. It's probably like 10 or 15%. But it's still a possibility to win that game.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Before we leave college hoops, kind of interested in this. We kind of spoke about it last year. Give me a team outside of the current top 25 on February 10th that you could see making the Final Four.
SMU in Dallas. Could you imagine how crazy that would be if your boy Larry Brown took yet another team to the Final Four in North Dallas with Jerry Jones?
He's a great
Although
coach.
I don't think it'll happen, but I thought I'd throw
okay,
it out
so,
there.
Okay, so is there like a Gonzaga or Oklahoma? I'm looking at these teams outside Washington, my Terrapins, you know, Southern Mississippi. Like,
oh,
you know,
man.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe a team that I saw earlier. Look, there's some teams that are not in the top 25 that were in the top 25, so I don't consider them, right? Like a Wisconsin, Ohio State, Pitt. You know, these guys were
right, they're
in
all
and
there,
out of
yeah.
the top 25. This
well,
is
Oklahoma
tough.
State
you know,
is one of those teams.
Oklahoma
they got kicked
State
out.
Now,
yeah.
They were at one point.
Their
team
to watch,
team?
I think. They could rally around this.
They really could. Absolutely. And they have talent. Yeah. Right?
LeBron Nash
and Marcus
Brian
Smart
Williams.
And
yeah.
Forte, if he can get back to shooting those jumpers.
You got a UCLA and Arizona
maybe
State.
Maybe UCLA. I was about to say, a team that I saw earlier play yeah. against Duke. They've got some youth. They've got some experience in the Ware brothers. They've got Kyle Anderson as a sophomore who's kind of their Magic Johnson, you know, does everything point forward. So maybe
what
UCLA.
About our Tar Heels? I'm going to throw out there, what about our Tar Heels?
You know what? Four in a row, the Tar Heels have won. Got
five
a big
a
week this
yeah.
week, playing Duke and Pitt this week. So we'll find out a lot about North Carolina. But yeah, you figure everybody's there. Everybody who's going to be there is there, right? We had somebody suspended. We got one guy back, so Harrison is back in the mix. And then we've got you know Paige and McAdoo, and we got some. Kids up front, we could use some shooting from the outside, which has been inconsistent all year. But, yeah, maybe Carolina, right? Roy Williams has got that experience. I don't know that they
never
can
know.
Defend enough. But, they could do some things. I don't think they're a Final Four team. But I look for the Big Ten, essentially, to put, I don't know, maybe four or five teams in the Sweet 16.
Oh, I could definitely see that. So you know what? Let's take a quick break and come right back talking some NBA. Ray and Tay.
We're back. We're back to talk NBA hoops. The National Basketball Association. 50 games
How about
or
those
so
Thunder?
In.
How about those Thunder?
Oh, what they did to our Knicks?
All right. Listen, I don't want Woody fired. I don't want Woody fired. I'll say that. But sticking with Oklahoma City Thunder, what's so impressive, 41-12, basically you could say the best team in the NBA You know, I think what was fascinating over the weekend, besides, you know, seeing their win there, was the Pacers and Blazers Friday night. That, to me, looked like a finals preview. But the Pacers at 39-11, they're good. Oh, man.
Adam Silver would have a heart attack. That wouldn't get good.
Oh, could you imagine? How bad?
A lot of great ball players, but it wouldn't be good for the.
How bad would the rating would be? Ooh, the NBA, they would be.
Back to what you said, Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah.
What happens when Russell Westbrook comes back? Are they better? Do they have a transition period? And long-term, does this make you reevaluate Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook playing together, or are you just happy
to get
the All-Star back?
No, because this team without Westbrook could make it to the second round or could lose in the first round. I don't think you can – I think the weaknesses and the tendencies of Lamb and Jackson in a series, in a seven-game series, could get exploited – Fisher, and I think what's made this team so good is Ibaka is having his career season. He's improving and getting better. And then, you know, you've got Lamb and Jackson improving, which I told you they would from Summer League, watching them play in Summer League. But
well,
I like Steven Adams.
Lamb was my guy going into this year.
Yeah, no, you did.
So
but I think Westbrook comes back, and then the bench gets deeper, and I think they – it just makes them better. Makes them better.
So stay on that note. So if you think that they're better with Russell Westbrook, do they then go for gold and trade for an Aaron Aflalo or trade for a Thaddeus Young or trade for
before
a
the
wing
deadline?
Player?
That's a good point. I think before the deadline, if they don't get a backup four, then yeah, maybe you can go and get you a Turner, a Young, or an Aflalo, someone that can either play with Durant 3-4 or sort of play a little 2-3. I think that Lamb, I don't want to rely on Lamb 30 minutes in the playoffs. How about that? I can play Lamb 15 to 23 minutes in the playoffs.
He won a national championship with your boy Kemba.
I think OKC should make a move. Yeah, I think OKC should make a move. I think the Blazers are so close that you'd be happy to make maybe win the first round in the 3-6 matchup. But right now that 3-6 matchup is Portland against Phoenix. Phoenix has actually, I think, beaten Portland twice this year. But, you know, teams that are so close, should the Clippers make a move? Chris Paul's back, right? Should the Clippers are the number four seed. And by the way, can we just give this guy a little bit of love? Blake Griffin is having a heck of a season. Him and DeAndre Jordan have improved so much. I just don't know if it's still enough for the Clippers to win
at
all.
I'm looking at their roster. I'm thinking roster-wise, they should win a championship. So what do they need? You're saying make a trade, but trade for who? They don't even have minutes out there to be had.
No,
because Jamal Crawford's their sixth man, Redick's their shooter. You know they've got
Jared Dudley, who I like, has been a little disappointing. So maybe you try to improve at the three.
Wow, but okay. Then what piece are you giving up? You trading Dudley and a draft pick to get an improved three? Remember, Dudley is one of the only guys that defends, because that's one of the things that Portland is horrible defensively. They've got maybe one or two guys that defend.
They're like 27.
The Clippers have like two or three guys that defend. So Jared shoots threes and defends. So maybe he's
and that's
not
where the Spurs get you
because
they play the defense. Yeah, the Spurs get you because they play the defense. And guess who is climbing up the charts with the hip-hop single, the Memphis Grizzlies, baby. Listen, that's a team. Now Dallas has got the 7th seed, and Golden State's dropped down to the 8th. I could see Memphis knocking out. God, could you imagine if Golden State doesn't make the playoffs?
Well, they're 30-21. So that's a little, 30-21.
Look at Memphis, they're 27-23. Dallas has got 30, it's 31
no,
and 21.
I'm just saying,
so, I mean,
Golden State
yeah.
is a third place team in the East, and they're in the eighth seed. They might get knocked out in the West.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If that happens, our boy Mark Jackson gets a little, you know, a couple of demerits. Because everybody was talking about how he's got a team that should be contending for the Western Conference playoffs. Final.
Yeah, they got to stay healthy. No, they
keep in mind, they're the same team. They could. I'm going to say something crazy. Golden State is the same team that could miss the playoffs, and they could win
or
a first-round series at the same time. I don't think they could win four series because I don't think your jumper – I don't think a jump shooting team can win a four straight series. I think they rely too
That's
much. The top
point.
Two scorers are jump shooters, and I don't think your jumpers go down on a consistent basis. And
how
game
about
to
this?
Game, there's going to be
the number six
justice.
Seed Phoenix Suns, Jeff Hornacek for Coach of the Year.
I'll sign
it's
up
either
for
him
that.
Or Thibodeau. Him or Thibodeau. Thibodeau's doing an amazing job. The Bulls, I can tell you, you know, they beat the Lakers on Sunday. Everybody thought that'd be a good game, you know, the TV guys when they set it up. But, you know, it's Bulls-Lakers with no Rose, no Kobe. But the Bulls just play ball. And you know who needs to get more respect? Joakim Noah is a heck of a player.
Yeah,
the Bulls
well,
are 25 and 25.
He's not crushing the ref. No, he had a little moment. That's okay.
Joakim had a little moment.
But speaking of Coach of the Year, though, on the other end of the spectrum, there are coaches that are doing just runaway damage that need to get some credit, too. So think about Scotty Brooks, what he's done losing Westbrook, and think about what Frank Vogel has done, basically telling his Indiana Pacers, we're going to get that number one seed. We have a bullseye right on Miami's back, and
losses,
we want to let everybody know that that's our goal, is to win that number one seed in the East.
You're right. You know, I don't think you can applaud the Pacers enough, but I think at the same time, how about Toronto, the third seed? Did anyone predict, you know, I mean, look, it's not amazing, but 26 and 24 – you know, you can only, you know, do what you can do in your competition in your division. But for the poor, you know, Eastern Conference, the Raptors are playing some pretty decent basketball, even
good
after getting rid of their supposed only kind of all-star type of player in Rudy Gay. Terrence Ross and DeRozan, who are part of All-Star Weekend, have really, along with Kyle
and
Lowry.
And my man
really
Kyle Lowry.
They're playing some good ball, man. They're playing some really good ball. So let me ask you this, staying in the Atlantic for a second. You know, the pressure on the Knicks, and first of all, it's stressful being a Knicks fan. It's stressful. But one thing I'll say, Brooklyn, they're starting, even without their probably all-around most talented player, Brooke Lopez, they're really starting to turn it around, and they're getting some tough wins. With the seventh seed, could you see Brooklyn, whether they stay at seven or, you know, past Chicago at six, could they upset they're not going to win beat the Heat at two, but that's three.
Sure.
That's three. Yeah, that's second seed. And then they would maybe play the Heat in the second round, which, you know, could be a good matchup. I think the Heat would be, you know, without Lopez, that Lopez would be the difference, right, to maybe get them to even upset the Heat. But without Lopez, they couldn't do it. But they could definitely beat the Hawks at number three, right?
So 3 through 10 can all beat each other. And
or Toronto at three, I'm sorry, Toronto at three.
Yeah, but whether it's Toronto and then Atlanta's at four because obviously they're in the same division as the Heat. But Toronto, Atlanta, Washington, Chicago, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Detroit, New York, Cleveland. If
who's
they were
that,
ever getting by a half game ahead of Detroit, Charlotte. I'm saving up my pesos to buy that Al Jefferson, Kemba Walker jersey.
You know what? For Jordan, I love to see this Piston team make the playoffs. But for Michael, for Mikael Jordan. I honestly would like to see the Bobcats, not just for you to wear the shirt, but I want to see the Bobcats have a little bit of success as they go back to the Charlotte Hornets.
I don't hate on Charlotte. My only point is that every GM move, I hate their roster. I hate it. They drafted Kemba Walker. They drafted Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. They drafted DJ Augustine. They drafted.
Did they get rid of that contract
to
Ben Gordon? You talk about trade deadline
deals. No, that's one
of
the assets they have is the expiring contract of Ben Gordon. They signed Ben Gordon after he didn't do anything in Detroit. They traded for him. I guess they wanted to get rid of Tyrus Thomas, and they had a couple of bad contracts. So it's like and our boy Byron Mullins.
What happened to that guy?
Byron Mullins, who did who did well last year. They got rid of him. And then, maybe to free up room for Al Jefferson. So I feel like every GM move that they've made has been bad. And they're lucky that they're in this Eastern Conference. But let's not kid ourselves. I mean, look, no. you play the opponents that you have, right? So you can't say that. But they're still 22 and 29. So there's
yeah,
not
a great
team.
Season.
So, but having said that, look, you're not going to be
a you know who's out for a long time?
Overnight.
You know who got hurt? We got to mention Kevin Martin. He got hurt, so it looks like the Timberwolves, they're not really going to make a run. It looks like it's only Memphis to maybe push Golden State, Phoenix, or Dallas. The Timberwolves, he's out indefinitely.
So does that mean they trade Kevin Love? Is there like a Kevin
Love
trade?
Well, this is the question, right? Do they just lose him after next season? So maybe they realize, like, we gotta – I mean, maybe they could do that next year, right? But maybe do you say, you know what, this draft – see, this is the thing that's going to push things out, not the free agents this year. This draft will make teams make moves, I believe, because of the fact that they're like, you know what, my guy will be a free agent, not this season, but after next season. So, like –
Well, that's the best to do it
that's
over
fascinating.
The summer, though, when you have time. Because I feel like right now the trade deadline is right upon us. So you might have to make a trade that doesn't maximize the value.
Right,
maybe in the off season you can make a better trade, especially if you know where the draft picks fall out, right? Once the draft
so you're saying like a draft day trade. I
can
see them maybe moving Kevin Love draft night. That's a good point. That's fair.
If they know he's not coming back, then they got to trade him. Just like Carmelo, that's why I feel like the Knicks need to have a sit down with Carmelo and
you know
Carmelo's
what?
And I'll call him out because Carmelo's had his way. In the Detroit trade, he got exactly what he wanted. He wanted max dollars. He wanted to get out when he wanted to get out. And the Knicks still had to give up 3-4 pieces, serviceable pieces.
Yeah.
So
he owes us honesty. He owes us
honesty.
Yeah,
you got to go to him and say, look, you don't have to give us an answer because you are a free agent. It's your right. But you got to tell me what your decision-making criteria because
Melo on that Bulls team? Look at that Bulls roster, and you throw the three in there with the healthy Rose and Melo.
Well, that's a more complimentary set of pieces. Noah, Gibson.
Better than Dang.
If they can amnesty Boozer and they can get out from his contract, so they then move Gibson to the starting four, and then they still have Jimmy Butler at the two, and they start think about that. Rose, I don't know if it fits under the cap, but Rose, Butler, Carmelo, Taj, and Noah. That might be the best
Taj
five
Gibson's
in the league.
Playing. Yeah, Taj Gibson's
that is,
playing.
If Derrick
ball,
Rose is healthy, that's the best five in the league.
Yeah, probably better than the Clippers and Golden State and Houston. Does Houston do anything?
I don't know.
Camby might come back. I mentioned that, but does Houston can not just do anything move wise? Can they win?
I think the West is so stacked that they can't. Maybe they win their first round series, but the problem is, and I hate to call one guy out, but their major weaknesses is no, it's not Dwight Howard. I think it's Terrence Jones. The fact is that the four, to help Howard out. And you're going to have Howard off the court, during crunch time because he can't shoot free throws. And even if you double-team him, you got to have that four, whether it be a stretch four or even a banger, just somebody to help him out on the boards. That's their problem. I think Chandler Parsons is fine at the three, good enough. Harden, of course, is Harden.
I don't like Lynn and Beverly, though. I think Lynn and Beverly are too inconsistent.
I don't love Lynn and
from
Beverly.
Game to game.
But remember, in crunch time, James Harden can run the point. Or can do a little bit of point action. So yeah.
And I like Jones off the bench. I actually like Terrence Jones. I got him on my fantasy team.
I do, but when
he's
your
playing,
starting
he's
four in a Western Conference that's brutal.
So let me ask you this. the team that sort of, you know, made a little noise over the weekend. How about the 17-33 Utah Jazz beating a healthy Miami Heat? That was a pretty big win for a bunch of young kids, with, you know, Burke, Hayward, the old guy, Marvin Williams, who's actually having a very decent season, who kind of starts at the 3-4 for them, Favors, Cantor, Alec Burks off the bench. Do you like, if they get a top 3-4 pick, do you like where this team potentially is going? Do you like
absolutely
sort of the –
absolutely, and I didn't think I would say that, right? If you give up on Al Jefferson and Paul Millsap in the same offseason – now, this Enes Kanter turns out to be a decent little player. Not little, but a decent player. Derek Favors is finally turning into – I think he's, what, about 13-9 and a block and a half, two block shots. So playing that athletic four that they expected coming out of Georgia Tech – if they were to get a Randall, a Wiggins, a Parker, somebody like that, and add some athleticism to the wings, right? They already have
Wiggins
Evan,
or Parker would be really
and
good.
they already have Gordon Hayward, who's turning out to be quite a player from Butler. You know, he's a stat stuffer. I think he's like 16-5-6, so pretty solid stats and can shoot, and you know, big guy, 6'9". And Trey Burke is the surprise. I didn't think Trey Burke would be this good, and certainly not this fast. So if they can get one more piece, and if I'm not mistaken, they've beaten, I think they beat Houston, San Antonio, Miami, and I think they beat Indiana. So I think they've beaten some teams. Now, granted, they might go, as they call them, big game hunting, but you know what? I tip my hat to you if you beat them. So this Utah team, I would be excited about basketball in the next 3 to 5 years in Utah, especially as the Western Conference gets old. You know, San Antonio's getting older. There's teams at the top that are getting older that, you know what, Utah be like, wait a minute, we might be able to get back into this, especially if you can pull a top 3 or 4 pick.
Yeah, no, it's actually kind of nice to see you know, a great franchise that just, you know, got blocked by Jordan, which a lot of franchises can say that. But, you know, Stockton and Malone and, you know, we spoke about Hornacek. I mean, just a, you know, winning tradition, but just, you know, just couldn't get over the Jordan hump, even though they, you know, have, you know, those great Hall of Fame players. It'd be nice to see, you know, they honored Jerry Sloan, it was like 2 weeks ago. It'd be nice to see the franchise turn around, because they've been bad for a couple of years now, you know.
I hated to see how that whole Darren Williams and Jerry Sloan era ended, and they just, the franchise crashed. And so, yeah, I would like to see them resurrect themselves and be better.
Yeah, so I think one of the most interesting things, you know, I got to just jump back real quick because we didn't get to talk about this. When we were talking about, Michael, Sam coming into the NBA. Now, remember they had those rumors about Kerry Rhodes, and he never got signed again. You know, not to say like, you know, like everybody was saying about Jason Collins. Look, Jason Collins was 35 and, you know, hadn't been good. Most, you know, he was just an average player, but he was, you know,
Kerry
old
Rhodes
veteran,
a
whatever. Right. But Kerry Rhodes, that was kind of weird. I mean, just, you know, some weird photos and pictures and rumors, but Kerry Rhodes was still, you know, had an injury, but was still a pretty decent safety for the Cardinals, and then all of a sudden he just is out of the NFL. I don't know. I'm just saying. I was kind of like.
No, it's a valid question, and the thing is, you'll never know. You can suspect, and you can put two and two together, but you'll never know. And I think that's ultimately what will happen. And just to tie this whole Michael Sam thing up, if you want to discriminate against him, you can do it in other ways, right? Under the guise of he's a rookie, or under the guise of this or that. So you can not include him in things, and people can ice him out and just make his life difficult, which is not outright, you know, discrimination. So in sports, you can do that. Now, what we're all hoping for is that, knock on wood, sports is the ultimate meritocracy, and if you can help me win, you're on the team. And if you can't help me win, you're not on the team. And that's ultimately what we hope for with any sport and any player.
Yeah, and I think you want him to get into a veteran locker room or a locker room or organization with good leadership. You know, I even think about him going to the Seahawks. You know, they always say they're a bunch of misfits. Well, you know, I think he would fit in very well with an organization that is, you know, seems to be more a little bit more progressive and positive. So it's going to be interesting to play out. And another reason for people to watch the NFL draft, which I think is great because, you know, me, Ray and I have been watching the NFL draft for years, watching it together for years, and it's just I love it. So, look. We'll see. Another good show, man. I mean, you know, here's the opportunity
for talk about.
Yeah, sports. Look, sports. It opens up conversations. I really people sometimes knock sports, but you know what? I think sports has definitely advanced America and the world. I mean, even look at the Olympics in a lot of positive ways. So people shouldn't always knock sports. It's not that bad. Not that bad at all. Thanks for people listening. You know, we had our caller and we lost them, but you know, we'll have Michael call back, I'm sure, on Friday, and we'll be back Friday. So thanks for listening and talking sports with friends.
Have a great sports week.
ACC, there's gonna be some good ball, Ray. Let's hoop it up.
I'm
excited. Peace.
We're out.